You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome this morning. We're in the last part of our message of a five-week mini-series. We did an introduction. If you wondered how I got five out of a four-letter word, we had an introduction, and then we've had 4 weeks, W-E-L-L. We're on our fifth week now, which is L equals life. And in actual fact, this is what started this mini-series for us, because one of the things Nikki and I particularly found when we came here is that there is a life in this church which is really precious. You genuinely do love one another. You genuinely look after one another. And it's quite rare in church. Churches are on good mission and they're doing some good things, but I think they forget to share life. So that's why this is so important this week, that we get to our final letter. So let's look back, let's recap for those that weren't here right at the beginning, and I want to make sure you got the hang of this. Hallmarks of our well. What do we say W was? Let's put it up on the screen. Worship. And someone challenged me this week and said, Darren, it's actually bowing down. That's where we're at with this. It should be a bowing down. And that's what we've said, isn't it? That when we connect with God, when we really truly connect with Him, I believe there is that bowing down. When you really truly connect with our Saviour, you probably will have an element of praise about it, but I think the initial thing I've always found when I've really connected, I've recognised how sinful I am. When I see how amazing and how holy He is, it just does put what I thought was my goodness in perspective compared to His perfection and His holiness. And I bow down. I literally, I bow down in a reverent fear and I kind of go, wow, you are God. And then God comes and meets with me. And I find that really exciting. And that led on to our next letter, E. I think when you genuinely connect with God, when your heart genuinely connects with God's heart, with God's spirit, it's like when you've got the latest, whatever it might be, a gadget. You're going to go, well, no, look at my gadget. Look at this, look at that. When you've really connected with God and you go, wow, I've just met the risen Saviour. That will be flowing out of you. You'll be telling everybody. I don't know if you remember when you first became a Christian. Maybe you were a bit of a nightmare to all your friends around you. I certainly know I was. I can't tell you this. This is incredible. This is amazing. And they look like I've gone out. But evangelism, naturally overflowing. We can do some great evangelistic courses. We can do some great programs. But there's nothing better than someone that's really passionate about something. We then moved on to L last week, learning. And I said, learn the truth. Trust it, plant in it, build on it, dream with it, share with it. And we considered a question we looked at last week, and if you missed it, go online and check it out. It's on there. If we are disciples and we're not making disciples, are we really disciples? And that's what we looked at last week, wasn't it? Because actually Jesus' commandment was, go into all the world and make disciples. So if that's His commandment, and we looked at how we could do that, and I say, listen to the message last week if you've missed it. If we're not making disciples, are we really disciples? Because a disciple makes disciples. That's what discipling is. And that doesn't have to be something massive. I picked on Dave last week, but he was discipling by getting a little lad here to help him put the things in the book. He will want to be like Dave because he thinks Dave is awesome. And Dave said, well, don't look at me. Look at Jesus, because that's who I'm doing it for. We're making disciples. And this week, we are on our final letter, L, which is life. Living life as God intended. As God intended. So I am going to break it down into 3 points this week. People have been saying you should have 3 points. Basically, I'm going to ask the question again. It's sort of a recap, really. Are you living well? Is what we're going to consider first. Are you really living well? I believe you are where you are right now for a reason. Not just in this building. But in your life, you're there for a reason. And finally, we're going to wrap it up, and we'll bring the children back in at the end. We'll look at a few verses of scripture, a few little chunks, all around love. Remember, love, we said, was the source of that well, and I believe it's the thing that we draw from that well. Let's pray. Father, as we consider your word, as we consider what it is that you want to say to us today, Father, I really challenge everybody in the congregation to bring those really difficult questions before you today, to bring those really difficult problems, those things which maybe are in the darkness at the moment and need to come into your light. Father, as we open up your word, as we consider this, Lord, will your spirit speak through me to the situations that your precious, precious children are in today, this morning. That, Father, each of us could be challenged by your words, that we leave this place transformed and changed and renewed because we've met with the risen Saviour and your spirit has come and met with us this morning. So, Father, we pray this in your precious name. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So my first point is, are you really living well? Are you really living well? And when we looked at that and we unpicked it, we said it's not an emotion thing, not how do you feel, yeah, I'm okay. Are you living well? Are you really connecting with God? Are you really finding this stuff is bursting out of you? Are you really wanting to learn so much more that you're living the life that Christ has intended and so it goes around again? Now that might sound like an ideal dream, but actually I believe it's a life that God wants us to have. Pam, that read so beautifully for us this morning there in John 10:10, says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, that you may have life and have it to the full." Do you know, when I was reading that, thinking about our world today, the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. There's so much we're reading in the news, isn't there, today, that is just stealing and killing and destroying for no good reason. If you need to know if this passage is relevant, if you need to know if Scripture is relevant, turn your TV on and pick your newspapers up and see what's going on. Bring it closer to home. A question. Are you living a simple and easy life? Is life easy, dead simple? Nothing breaks, nothing goes wrong, no pain, no suffering, no mourning, no dying, nothing. Is that the life we're all living? Of course, the reality is, no, it's not. I actually had a look on the internet. Nikki's going to throw some of these up for me. I looked up life, people's quotes on life. Some of these are quite good. So life goes on. Whether you choose to move on and take a chance in the unknown or stay behind, locked in the past, thinking of what it could have been. My dear Valentine. Would you like to receive that on Valentine's Day? I'm not sure that's quite a Valentine's message, is it? Anyway, there you go. Let's have a look and see what else we've got. My playlist can tell you the story of my life. It's quite an interesting one, isn't it? My playlist. Does everybody know what a playlist is? You know these funny little things that people put in their ears? My playlist can tell you what's going on. Okay, next one. This is from George Bernard Shaw even. Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. Now, I'm not saying these are good. These are just things that I found, quotes that I found on the internet that I thought was interesting what people think about life. What's the next one? Albert Einstein, if you want to live a happy life, tie it to a goal, not to people or things. Hey, that's what Albert Einstein thinks. What does Mahatma Gandhi say? He says, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they will fight you, then you win. It's interesting, isn't it? These thoughts on life. This is my favourite one's the last one. I'll save the best till last. Here we go. Life is short. Smile while you still have teeth. There we go. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? People's thoughts on life. I think we can honestly say, and most of us here can say, life is actually pretty hard. We shouldn't belittle this. It can be very disappointing. It can be very short. It can be unfair. It is always changing. And then after all of the labours of this life, what happens? We die. It's cheery, isn't it? What a cheery start to a message, Darren. Well done. I'm feeling thoroughly good about this now. Well, actually, as a Christian, come on, let's be honest. The Bible says we can approach life in a completely different way. Take that children's talk this morning. What happened actually with that? I set that off, if you remember. No rules, go. And they stand there looking at it like, he's gone out, what we're doing. But actually, I said, well, no, go on, you get on with it. You get on with it. So they started to make some rules. Okay, well, I'll throw the ball and you can catch it. But then when Nikki came and actually gave them the rules, they went, oh, this is really good. Oh, a bit of competition between them. And they had a lot of fun. And they played within the rules, didn't they? If you've ever been on one of the Alpha courses or Sim part of the Alpha course, there's a talk at the beginning that talks about a football game. Are you nodding? You've had this one? It's good, isn't it? A football game. So there they are playing on the football pitch. The ref hasn't turned up. And as good boys do and girls, when they're playing about on the football pitch, they start kicking the ball. But that's not fair. This isn't fair. Boom, boom, boom. And the football match doesn't resemble a football match. It resembles something completely and utterly different. And they're kicking each other more than they're kicking the football. And the ref turns up. And what did he do? Toot, toot on the old whistle. Boom. Right. You there. You there. This is how it happens. And they go off and they start to play football. I guarantee that the parents on the sideline as well, if the ref doesn't keep the rules, they'll be saying, "Oi, ref, come on, are you blind?" You know how it works. Dave knows how it works. Have you ever said that, Dave? Yeah. But if they didn't play within the rules, if they didn't stick to the rules, then they didn't have a good game. Where was the best game? The best game was when they followed the rules and someone helped keep the rules. But we look at rules and say, are the rules good? Actually, when we look at our Christian life and God says, these are the rules. Do you remember we read it in Proverbs 3-5? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He will help you keep the rules. They are good rules. We said last week, didn't we? Nothing irritates our diverse society where the people that believe in all kinds of different things and tolerate each other's beliefs, even when they don't match their own, except when we speak about the exclusive worship of the Lord Jesus. We said, didn't we? Everybody says, oh, it's all great. Oh, we accept some of this teaching. Oh, hang on a minute. But it can't be exclusive. No, no, we've got to be inclusive of everything, except obviously you. We considered that narrow-minded opposite view, didn't we? Which tells us to celebrate people of all different kinds, to tolerate each other, even when they don't match their own. And yet you mentioned the name of Jesus, and we've said it already this morning. There's power in the name of Jesus. And our world and our own selves naturally reject him. We sang a song a few weeks back. You know, daily my heart will wander. Daily I'll turn from you. It's a natural thing that we do. Can you imagine the uproar in a football game? I'm sure Dave could imagine it. If that attitude of narrow-mindedness to the rules of the game were kind of thrown out. Come on. Surely it's far more fun. Why do you want to stick to the rules of football? I don't have the football gene, by the way, so I know I'm talking out of turn here. But I would love to remake the rules of football. I can't believe that these guys kick a ball around for 90 minutes. Nil-nil. Ooh. Now, could you imagine going to work one day and say, well, I nearly sent an email. I nearly did my job today. Nil-nil, what's that all about? Could you imagine tennis if it was nil-nil? How can they have a game where it could be nil-nil? I say make the goals bigger and throw the goalkeeper away and let them have some fun. You see, I would rewrite the rules, but that's not football, is it? And those that stick to football go, no. There's a reason that those rules are in place. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Are we narrow-minded? When someone calls you a narrow-minded Christian, are we narrow-minded? You see, read it a moment ago, didn't we, in the reading? If you want to have a full life, ask the question, what do you want it to be full of? That's quite interesting as I approach this. What do you actually want your life to be full of? And I suppose this is where this living well thing for me came from, as that little bedrock to stand stuff on. I believe if you're fully plugged into God, fully connected, bowing down, that you're worshipping in spirit and in truth, you will start to be living a life that God is calling you. Now, it's going to be different for all of us. It's not saying that this is the beauty of Christianity, isn't it? That God takes you exactly as you are, who you are. And he does something amazing with you. Do you know his voice? Do you know his voice? Do you know him? Are you bowing down in that reverent fear and respect for a holy God this morning? Remember that video I played week two? What does the Bible say about our God, about our King? And it's interesting, I got a few comments back saying, oh, it'd be much nicer if you'd actually read some of the things out about our King. Well, this is our King. I'm going to read you some of this. If you don't know God this morning, you're saying, who is he? What is he about? This is what this video said. My king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. Now, that's my king. I wonder if you know him. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? Do you know him? This gets me excited. He is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He is God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. I don't know why that one catches me every time, but I think, whoa! He is the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers captors. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meager. I wonder if you know him. That's only half the video. It's only half of it. This man went on and on about how great God was. Imagine bursting with all of that, that just kind of pours out from you when someone says, tell me about your God. Tell me about your God. Do you know him? My king, full of love and compassion that brings life and life to the full, an abundant life built upon his saving grace. I mean, I'm so excited about that. If anybody's listening online, you can go and check out our YouTube channel, Limbrick Wood BC. Put it all in as one word. If you want to go back and look at it, go and check it out afterwards. We've got that video on there. But as I started this mini-series, I actually asked the question, are you living well? Are you living well? Are you? As we wrap up the mini-series this week, my prayer is that, as I've prayed already, is that you really will leave here today with a peace that surpasses all understanding, a confidence, that quiet confidence to wait patiently on the Lord, the joy that comes from running a race within the bounds of those rules that are laid out by the Creator. Oh, Darren, that sounds really good. And everybody's got a but. Don't we all come with a but? Ah, but. I wonder what that is this morning. I'm going to go on to my second point, which says you are where you are for a reason. I believe you are where you are right now for a reason. And let's unpick that, because you might be sitting there saying, well, I ain't enjoying this too much. The ride isn't too special at the moment. Let's have a little look in Genesis 50. This is the story of Joseph. And we pick it up there in verse 14. It says, after burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all the others that had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong things we did to him? Brothers are like this, aren't they? So they sent a word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers and the sins and the wrongs that they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. With this message they came to him, and Joseph wept. Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, that they said. But Joseph said something amazing to them. He said, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Now you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. He assured them and spoke kindly to them. You see, I've got the privilege, I suppose, of part of journeying with many different people. Lots of you are in many, many different places. And I suppose having journeyed myself recently through a number of these things, I was in that place. I was saying, God, what are you really doing? Why am I really here? Why is that really happening? But actually, a number of people shared verses with us. And actually, it's interesting when God really wants to get your attention, because he uses many different people with the same verse in many different ways, doesn't he? And we go, okay, God, I am listening now. Psalm 37:7 says this, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Psalm 37:7. "Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." And another verse that was given to us was in Matthew 6 and verse 33. And it said this, and you'll recognize this verse, I'm sure. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now again, I mentioned it last week, and I want to encourage you as we unpick God's word, and he keeps saying the same messages, come back to it. My friend Rob Milliken, that came and spoke here at the induction, spoke about a race. And then that race, he spoke of three runners that got distracted running round the track, never finished the race, picked up all this stuff along the way and never finished the race. But one runner ran the race, completed the race, got to the end, got to the finishing line, got to that goal. And after he got to the goal, he then went round the track and he picked up all the things as well that people were trying to distract him with. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you as well." Do you know what I mean? Keep your eyes fixed on that goal. Seek first his kingdom. So the point I'm making from this is that I believe you're right here, right now, in the place that you're in, and I'm not going to belittle the place that some of you are in. It's tough. But actually, have you taken a moment to consider that God might have you in that place for another reason? What did he say to Joseph? Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? No. No, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Now, I don't know why some of you are in the situations you're in. I didn't know why we were in the situations we're in. But we looked at Paul last week, or week before. Saul, what was he doing? He went around and he terrorized the Christians. He was in a bad place looking back and saying, "Hey, God." But actually, God was using him at that time to spread the people. So the gospel went out into all of the earth. Now, you might be in a situation at the moment where you're beating yourself up. You say, "I've done it wrong and this isn't working out right." I don't know how God is necessarily going to use that. But if you've got your eyes fixed on him today, if you are obedient to what he's calling, I believe that you're in his story. Although you might have your own story, you are in his story this morning. Could it be that the life that you have that is really tough could actually be about you helping many lives? So what are the rules then for this journey? We looked at the rules with the kids, didn't we, this morning. What are the rules? How are we to serve? Because we looked at serving last week. Ephesians 6, if you want to dive in at verse 7, Ephesians 6 verse 7 says, "Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do." Do you catch that? Serve the Lord wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord. I know that's something that someone challenged me with. Darren, whatever you do, I've highlighted it there, as if you're serving the Lord. I could be cleaning toilets. I could be putting floors down. I could be speaking. I could be playing an instrument. Whatever it is, do it all as if serving the Lord. I actually had a job as a young lad when I was down in Portsmouth, cleaning toilets at the Navy. They said they were the cleanest toilets they had ever had. "Do you do anything else?" And I said, "Well, I'll do a bit of sign writing, actually, and I do other bits and pieces." "Well, if you sign write as good as you clean toilets, we want you to come and be our sign writer this morning." You know, everything as unto the Lord. Whatever situation you are in at the moment, do it as unto the Lord, as if you are doing it for God and not people, because God will reward each one of you for whatever good you do. No longer woe is me, but we sang it, and you sang it amazingly this morning. How great is our God? And as people look at us and they see how we genuinely love one another, I believe we'll be living a life that they will be almost envious of, jealous of. How do I get that? How do I get this life? We've got to encourage one another. Don't give up meeting together. Spur one another on and get that church life balance right. Invest in one another. We looked at it the other evening. Are you investing or are you spending? Serve one another as Jesus taught us. And remember what we said last week, keep it in the family. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it was the disciples' feet he used as an example. He didn't go and get some strangers. And he said, do this to one another, and then the world will see how much you love one another. Seek his kingdom plan for your current situation. You are where you are today, I believe, for his reason. I know that's tough for some of you right now. But wait patiently for the Lord. Sit at his feet and wait. So, we're going to close with the final point on love. And I want us to do that as a family. Our young people stay in for many parts of the service because I want them to see us discipling them. This is how we do it. This is how I give to God's work. This is how I praise. This is how I worship. You want to put your hands in the air. You want to jump on your knees. Whatever you want to do, do that this morning. Let's show our young people how to do that. But we're going to read a couple of verses. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you're very welcome. The first one is going to be in Romans 12, 9 to 21. If there's someone maybe next to you, it'd be good to dive into this together. I'm not going to put it up on the screen. It says this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, and I love the honesty of the Bible, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with goods. These are pretty cool rules, aren't they? Does this not change maybe your heart to some of the stuff that we're being fed by the media at the moment? If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, and someone can shout me a page number out. 1 Corinthians 13. I know you've got it on a sheet. You're cheating. 1153. 1153 in the church Bibles. If you've got a different version, you're not going to help you. 1 Corinthians 13. It's good to hear rustling of pages, isn't it? Digging into God's word and finding where it is. So here we go. We're picking it up, the second reading. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and hand over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And many will know this next bit off by heart. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, we've asked some questions at the beginning of this mini-series. Are you living well? My encouragement to us as a church as we move forwards is where we are able, let's start meeting in each other's homes, if we're not doing it already, and I know some are. Maybe we can move the prayer meeting from those faithful that come here into the Cole building into people's homes that can't get out for whatever reason. Is anybody holding you to account with anything at the moment? Have you got a prayer partner? Someone that you can actually sit down and pray with and say, this is where I'm at. That you can hold each other to account, spurring one another on in these difficult times that we all face. But actually, one of the most important things, I think, is having time to sit down and have a cup of tea. Now you're going to go, oh, that's not very biblical. Hey, practice hospitality, okay? Practice hospitality. Mary, Martha kind of situation. Sitting at Jesus' feet sometimes is really good. I don't know how you can genuinely love one another if you don't spend time with one another. And the only time you spend with one another is if you're making the tea or clearing up or doing something else. When do we get to actually practice that hospitality? And not just here, how can we meet the world outside, our community that God has called us to, if we're not spending time with them? We can set up food banks, we can set up cafes for the youth and all sorts of programs. We can do all of these amazing things. But if we don't really know the people that we're connecting with, if we don't really know one another, we set up some amazing things and they look really good on paper. And we do lots of fundraising for it, but actually it might not be the thing that's needed. You know, our young people, the thing our young people crave the most is actually someone to sit down and talk and listen to them. Yeah, there's some great stuff. We think they might want all the latest gadgets and gizmos, but you set up a youth cafe and they'll want to come in and talk. They want to come in and talk, really, really get to know each other. That way we can disciple one another. You'll know what their next steps are. We've been talking about it here, haven't we? Discipling. And we still need some cleaners, don't we? Particularly after I've been making it dusty in here. Who's signed up for the cleaning since last week? Oh, who's feeling guilty now? Okay, I'm not here to do that. But let's be community with each other. You know, let's really do that L equals life. Really share life with the people here in Tile Hill. I asked the question before, are we living well? I've got a few slides to put up on the screen in summary, which was our well. The first one was, when His Spirit, God's Spirit, meets with your spirit, I believe true worship overflows. So we start with worship. We start with connecting with God, knowing the Father's heart. And when you've really, truly connected with that, I believe you cannot help but have that overflow of a heart of worship. An overflow of a heart of worship is natural evangelism. You will not be able to keep quiet about it. And I'll tell you what, you're the best person in the best place to tell someone about that because they know you and they'll have seen your life change. And they'd say, there's something different about that. How many testimonies have you heard of ladies that have come to church and their husbands have said, I saw something so different in them, there's got to be something in this. And I know a good number of people that have come because they've seen the result of that change. My mum, she changed and whoa, and that was it. And the family followed. Whoever it is, you are the best person for that overflow of a heart of worship. L, learn the truth. trust it, plant in it, build on it, dream with it, and share it. Disciple. It's so exciting, this stuff. And our final one this week, L equals life. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. I suppose the question is are you? Are you in that place? And actually, as we start this mini-series, this is just the start. This is the warm-up. This is the, hey, I want to get to know you. And I haven't managed to get around and see everybody yet. But over the coming months and the years, God willing, I hope that we really will be this community here. We won't see ourselves separate from them out there. We will be a community that God has called us to be in Tile Hill, doing all things in his name, by his Spirit, as we see what the Father is doing. And my final point is make sure we're living well. Make sure we are living well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that as we start this exciting journey, this exciting chapter, that Lord, you will be at the center of all that we do. That Father, you will be the one, the source that we get that power and that energy from and that enthusiasm from. Because Lord, we know on our own, we can be quite miserable sometimes. Lord, we just need to connect with you. And then when we plug in and your Spirit flows through us, Lord, how exciting life can be. Lord, it's difficult and we do come before you in honesty with those things in our lives that are broken. Maybe where we didn't quite do things the way that you said was best and now we're in a place that is not quite the best. Lord, you love broken people and you love to make them new and whole and complete. So Father, I just really pray for any that today that say, I'm just not in that place at the moment. Will you reach out and you really touch those places, even if that means bring it to the forefront of our minds again because we try to bury it away, pretending it was gone. Father, you want to deal with those things. You want to cut the rot out and you want us to blossom. Father, come and prune each of us, we pray, so that good fruit would come from our lives, that good fruit of love and peace and joy. Lord, that transforming power at work within us that others will see will be evident for all, that they would then say, how great is our God? How great is our God? Lord, we want people to be rejoicing in you as we humbly come before you, Father, and say, this is who I am. We don't need to put on a mask or a face, but we can say, this is who I am. So come, Lord Jesus, we pray, as we lift our praises to you, as we draw a close to this, Lord, and we look forward to the Christmas season that's coming up. May you be the center of all of that, we pray, in your precious name. Amen. Amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.